In many ways, the San Francisco Bay Area is recovering from the 2008 foreclosure crisis. Jobs are returning to the area. In some places, housing prices are going up. And the number of home sales is also on the rise. But the long-term effects of the crisis are still playing out. Nationally, at least 3.8 million people have lost their homes to foreclosure. In California, more than 750,000 homes have been foreclosed. And even though the economy might be getting better, they're still happening. Both here and around the country, these foreclosures have disproportionately affected low-income and minority communities. These communities are less likely to have a financial safety net and are more likely to have been targeted by predatory lenders. Preeti Vissa works for Greenlining, a nonprofit in Berkeley, tracking the effects of the crisis across the nation.
At this point, half of all foreclosures in California are going to be among Latino borrowers, two-thirds among communities of color. We're worried that it's going to be devastating in terms of, you know, building wealth for communities and watching this wealth gap from between communities just grow.
Wealth loss isn't the only consequence of foreclosure. Vissa says others are more difficult to measure.
The stress and anxiety that comes from the foreclosure process, and this isn't just a month or two. The average foreclosure, I think, takes something like 400 days. So that's over a year of racking your brain, trying to figure things out, and the anxiety that comes with that has real health impacts.
Research has begun to show the potentially devastating effects of foreclosure on the health of homeowners and their families. In this piece from our archives, KALW's Casey Miner visited San Jose to see how one family dealt with foreclosure stress.
I got this house like 7 years ago. At first, it was like, whoa, it's like American dream. You want a house, and we got the house. We were looking for a long time.
The house where Rosa Fernandez lives is in a quiet neighborhood in San Jose, right on the corner of two small streets. Lining the edge of the house, bordering the small front lawn, are a few ceramic planters shaped like animals, a swan, a little sheep. The walls in the living room are painted brightly, orange and blue, and covered with framed photos of her kids. She's got four sons and a daughter.
When I got married, I said, one day I have to have a house, one day I have to have a house, my kids and a dog, which I did. I went to Mexico and I got a dog, and I had a really, really tiny little dog. And I had my dog, my five kids, and I bought my house.
Fernandez bought her house in 2005 with a short-term fixed-rate mortgage because she didn't qualify for a long-term one. But when she tried to refinance a few years later, the bank wouldn't let her. Her monthly payments jumped to where she couldn't handle them, even when she was working two jobs. She went back and forth with the bank for months, but in the end, they said they couldn't help her.
So I just started crying. I said, you know what? I really, really need your help. I have five kids. Where the hell do I go with five kids?
The kids didn't know where they would go either. And Fernandez says the problem started almost immediately.
I would have to, like, get them up in the morning and have to yell to them, like, get up, you have to go to school. There's nothing I could do, and I have to go to work. And a lot of crying in the morning, a lot of stress.
The youngest boy, Dominic, took it the hardest. He stopped talking to anyone at school, stopped doing his work. His teacher wanted him to see a counselor. He was 9 years old.
So I spoke to my son, and he says, no, Mom, everybody at school is going to make fun of me. They're going to think I'm crazy. And I said, mijo, in a way you are. In a way you're going crazy, because he wouldn't eat for like 3 months. He had a stomach ache. I took him to a doctor's. There was nothing wrong with him, but he just did not want to go to school. So he kept on saying, Mom, my tummy hurts. Mom, my tummy hurts. And it's like, I didn't know what to do.
It's hard not to just be shocked by really the depth of anguish that families experience when they go through this.
Janice Badler is a researcher with the National Council of La Raza, an advocacy organization that recently released a study about the effects of foreclosure on Latino families around the country. The study found that going through a foreclosure affected every aspect of family life.
Of the people that we interviewed, we didn't talk to anybody who did not have some sort of health concern.
La Raza's study was based mostly on interviews, but there's some data to back up their conclusions. Last fall, the Alameda County Public Health Department collaborated with local nonprofit Causa Justa Just Cause to survey nearly 400 families in East and West Oakland, mostly African American and Latino, about their experiences with foreclosure. The results were the same: depression, illness, and stress, compounded by financial trouble that made treating those problems very difficult. But because there's not very much research about how foreclosure affects health, right now communities aren't very well equipped to deal with the issues that are coming up.
that's really an epidemic, and it's a public health epidemic.
Tammy Lee led the data collection for the study.
Just providing housing services is a challenge. Just providing mental health services is a need and a challenge. And bringing the two together, it doesn't happen.
As more research comes out, some people are trying to address these problems. Lena Robinson does community development outreach for the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. Recently, she's been holding workshops for housing counselors, nonprofits, and community leaders in hard-hit places. Robinson says an important part of starting that process is to help people put foreclosure in context so that the experience doesn't take over their entire lives.
People have got to sort of recognize that this isn't just a financial disruption in their life. It has emotional ramifications. And while you may never be able to get back those assets or be able to, you know, financially recover, it's important that you recognize there are other things in your life that are important.
By her own account, Rosa Fernandez was lucky. Through a colleague at work, she found a nonprofit that dealt with the bank on her behalf. She ended up getting a modification, a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage with low interest. She and her kids could stay in their home. But it would be a long time before everything was back to normal.
Yeah, that's my youngest one, Dominique.
Oh, you said I didn't have to talk.
Dominique is 10 now, in fifth grade. He's a small kid with messy hair and a big grin. His sister Roxanne is 12, and they tease each other like any siblings.
She also scares me. Like one time when I was making a sandwich, I didn't ask her for anything. And then she said, oh, my mom poisoned that ham. And all that bread's going to give you cancer. Yeah, that's why.
No, I told you that about soup because I was just telling you facts about the soup.
Dominic is a little shy, but not overly so. Mostly he seems like a normal kid, even a pretty happy one. But Fernandez says he still worries about losing the house. Roxanne notices too.
When we would buy something, he would say, Mom, you're spending way too much money. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose the house. And he would just like freak out all the time.
Fernandez says she thinks she understands what her son was going through.
You look back and you think, I was losing it. I was going crazy. I was doing all of this because I used to cry like every day at night. I used to go to work, act like nothing was happening because at work it was only a few people that knew what I was going through. And then I used to come home, cook dinner, go to my room, close my lock my door, and I used to cry every night. So it's something that you carry inside, and it's really, really hard.
When we talk about houses, we're often talking about money. We use words like commodity, investment, collateral. But sometimes a house is just what it's always been, a corner of the world you know is yours, and the peace of mind that comes with that knowledge. For Cross Currents, I'm Casey Miner.